Hi guys, and welcome to practically my first official episode with guests of What We Want to Say But Don't podcast. And I'm actually so excited that I finally started this, and I'm so excited that I have my friends on one of my first episodes, so it's going to be quite a cool episode. I'm Denise, your host, and everyone else is going to introduce themselves, I guess. Introduce yourself and say something that we may not know, or just a fun fact about you.
Hi, my name's Debbie. My fun fact is that I play guitar. Not sure that's fun, but yeah.
Nice one.
Okay, I'm Peggy. You guys can call me Pegs. I am 22 and I am a qualified nurse.
Okay, my name is Renee, and I would say a fun fact, well, it's not really a fun fact, but I love food a lot, so yeah.
She does.
my name's Gloria, and it's not a fun fact, but all my siblings have A names, and I'm the only one with a G name.
Because each is a G.
But I'm Gloria, it's fantastic. Yeah. One and only. Yeah.
Literally. And in case you guys haven't watched my introduction video, this is a new podcast which essentially is about the things that we want to say, the conversations that we have with ourselves in our heads out loud. We're keeping it TTH. One thing I always say, guys, is hashtag TTH, which means keeping it true, transparent and honest. Jeez. I almost forgot. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Okay, so we're gonna play a quick game of the Judge Likely game, just to sort of get to know everyone in the room, know what we're up against, you know, or get to know people, to be fair. So it's the Judge Likely game is the who is most likely to do such and such. So I'm gonna say who is most likely to blah, 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 and you guys will pick who, yeah?
All right,
let's go.
So the first one is, who is most likely to laugh at a joke they do not understand?
Peggy.
Debbie. Or Renee, actually.
Yeah, it could be me too.
Yeah. No, it's Renee.
That's I think it'll be Renee. I actually thought of Renee.
It's actually Renee.
Oh my days. Yeah, okay.
I feel like, I don't know, it's just, like, Renee is just so...
She'll be like, what?
She's just so lovely. Like, she's just, she'll just start laughing. Yeah, I think
true,
Renee.
It's true.
I think Renee. So, Renee, you got that one.
Thanks, girl.
Who is most likely to fall asleep at work?
Oh, that's everyone.
Gloria, she should take naps in Waitrose.
Debbie, you're not to talk about naps.
I feel like that was on my lunch break, so
I feel like that actually.
If Debbie didn't work with children,
Debbie is sleeping.
She would sleep on the table.
The time. I think it's Denise, you know.
It's Debbie.
It's Denise too.
You call Debbie tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Debbie will be sleeping.
It's Debbie. A nap.
You take naps nap. Like 10 times a day.
Not all the time.
It's Debbie. Debbie, claim your card.
Whatever, I claim it.
Debbie, you got this. I'm not even trying to defend anything. You got that. Who is most likely to have always been the heartbreaker?
Denise.
Oh.
I don't want to have to blame myself.
Heartbreaker, yeah. Me?
Denise.
Oh, I think no, Denise guys.
What? Why?
Because I think Denise, because she's so beautiful. And so many, I feel like she does get a bit of attention from guys.
A bit?
I don't want to quote her, you know, I don't want to be doing that. You know, your husband can be listening. But, I mean, she gets some attention from guys and she does turn them down most of the time. So I feel like, yeah, she breaks their heart.
Hence the reason why I'm actually still single. So I've got that one, clearly.
But not because they're not good people, but because she knows what she wants and she's not settling. That's why.
Yes.
Jeez, my girl. Who's most likely to spend more time posing in the gym than working out?
I think it's Denise again.
Denise.
What? Yeah, no! Guys,
it could be Peggy in the gym.
that is exactly why you're posing instead of working out.
She said you'll never catch me in the gym.
Like, oh, an inch.
I think she's gone. It's definitely Peggy. She'll do 5 minutes in the machine. She'll be like, I'm getting thick. I'm getting thick. It's definitely Peggy.
Around me my cards.
That is so funny. Who's most likely to be the lone survivor if stranded on a remote tropical island?
Denise, I think.
I think Gloria.
That's a very good question, but I think Denise. Is. Probably me, but Denise.
Do you know what I realised? I don't even have those skills like that to be honest.
But I feel like you're smart enough to put two and two together.
I think Renee would hide the whole time.
Find a coconut tree and this
like. Oh my gosh.
Grabbing them. That is so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, let's go with Ren. Who is most likely to live in a big city?
In a big city? We all live in a big city.
Yeah.
So, or who's more, I guess basically it's kind of like who actually likes living in a big city. Because I love it. I can't live in anywhere else.
But I think it's because we've all grown up in the city of London. Yeah. So I don't think we would be able to go to like the suburbs. It doesn't work at all, right?
It wasn't. Yeah.
No. Even though I'm practically on the suburbs
too. Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Are,
But yeah, I guess everyone maybe.
Yeah.
Who is most likely to have weird phobias?
I don't even know. Weird phobias. I feel like it could be me.
Just because
I have got a phobia that not everyone understands.
What is that?
It's called trypophobia. And it's like a phobia of like, or even thinking about it, it can be kind of it's like loads of holes.
Oh my days.
I really like sponges.
See, those ASMR things don't actually like make you, like they make you actually cringe.
No, it's not even that. Like there's this thing called trypophobia. So if I see like loads of holes, I can't even show you a picture because I will like freak. But basically, look it up. Trypophobia. It's really, really serious. It really does affect you. But,
I'm gonna do one more. Who is most likely to fall in love with his or her best friend?
Denise.
Trust.
Denise.
What?
Why?
Oh,
don't do that.
Don't do that. Why me, guys?
Because Denise will spend bare time with them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you spend time, you have to be careful when you have male best friends.
Yeah.
If you spend too much time with them, you can end up forcing something that there isn't. Yeah. It could be a friendship, but you might start thinking, this could work.
Yeah.
That's what you start thinking. And because out of all of us, I feel like Denise has got male friends that is more likely to happen to Denise.
True.
Cool. So the topic of discussion today is going to be an interesting one. I guess we'll just see what comes from it. But the first question, shall I say, is why am I still single? So I don't know if you guys have thought about,
why are you single?
No, sorry, yourself specifically. Like asking yourself, why am I still single?
I think a lot of times, sometimes we can associate that question as being something negative.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, naturally, you'll start to think, okay, well, maybe I'm not pretty enough, or, because the right guy's not there, the guys around me are stush, blah, blah, blah. But I think sometimes it's like, I don't know if I can speak generally, but I mean, for me, I think there's a lot of contributing factors. You've got career to think about. For some people, it could be education. It could be just not really being in the right mindset to kind of, start dating someone, or obviously getting married. I don't know. What do you not think?
I think two things. Well, not really two things. I think the reason why sometimes we're single is because we're really in this mindset of my man is gonna come to me. He's gonna find, like, obviously I agree that our men should pursue us and seek us. It's not that we should not be running them to come and put the ring on our hand, but I feel like we do play some sort of role in finding our boyfriend and whatnot. I don't know. I'm trying to think what, but kind of what, like what Peggy said, in terms of we look at it as a negative thing, like
yeah,
you kind of set the expectations for yourself, like in primary school, oh, when I'm 24, I'm like, at my age now, I thought when I was in primary school, I would have been married, had 3 kids and whatnot.
So, beyond the fourth.
Yeah, you know? Honestly. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe setting high expectations of how you're going to find a man, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think for me as well, it's funny because obviously we're talking about before the pressures of having like friends who are getting married, and then people now start asking you like, when's your time? Joe, where's the husband? Like, when's it coming?
When will you marry?
When will you marry? Ah? And then you start to think to yourself, you're just like, it may not be a bad thing. Like, you may not want to be married there and then, but you might start to question, well, like, come yeah. on, like, time is ticking sort of thing.
But then I feel like in that case, it makes you more prone to wanting to date or get married for all for the wrong reasons. Like, yeah, you sure. evidently you're not ready, otherwise you probably would have been married. But then it's like yeah. kind of feeding into the pressures of the people around you. You're not going to start doing it for the sake of, oh yeah, I want to do it because I think I'm ready. You're just going to do it to get people mm-hmm. off your back. And then obviously that's going to lead you into problems down the line. Yeah.
I think as well, when it comes to the whole why are you still single thing, I think like you said, a lot of people see it as a negative, but I think as well you have to kind of take some ownership for why you're single.
Mm-hmm.
And I think not everyone in the position that they're at in their life now, and it may be financially mm-hmm. mentally, spiritually, because we are Christians,
yeah,
but like you may not be ready for a relationship. So I would personally say why I'm single is because before I was not ready for a relationship. If I would have been in a relationship with somebody, and if I decided to get married at like 21 to somebody, it wouldn't have been a good marriage. Because we were saved and stuff like that, and I personally don't believe in divorce, we may have stayed together, but the first couple of years would have been horrible. And that would be based on the fact that the money wasn't there, and I was quite selfish.
I get that, but what about like, one, like, how do you know when you'll be ready? Like, I get your, like, financially, okay, cool, that plays a big part in it, because financially, like, you have to be secure, you got to be stable. But let's say, for example, I'll give you 2 examples, like, or maybe one, but let's say, where you, in terms of financially, at the age of, I don't know, 21, you're earning, let's just say 30k a year, whatever, and in 5 years' time, you're still earning the same amount, or yeah, you're basically earning. So there's not much that has changed financially, but I mean, I don't know, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, as a person, you've obviously matured.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the same financial situation. Not that it's a problem, but do you think your relationship or your marriage will be better based on the fact that, oh yeah, I am, well, I'm not where I was financially. Like, do you get what I'm trying to say? Because I feel like someone who is 21 and has, like, is on 60k, like a couple, I still feel like they can have a just as bad a relationship as someone who's on, I don't know, 21k. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I think it's the amount, though, if I'm honest.
It's not the amount.
I think it's more, let's say, you know, you're in debt, or you don't have good money management, or all of them things. I think that plays a part in terms of, you know, getting into a marriage. Like, if you know at 18 you can't handle your money, and as a man, you also can't handle your money, and you're meant to be leading the home, you need to take that responsibility to say, I need to fix myself up in terms of finances. And a woman should also take that role on. So that's why I feel like you could both be on 30K and be on 30K for another 5 years. But what are you doing in those 5 years? Have you learned how to manage your money? Do you think you're prepared to get a mortgage or all of them things? I think it's not essentially how much you make, it's what you're learning in that process.
And I feel like as well, when like in the whole thing, I feel like when I said I wasn't ready, I feel like when it comes to being married, you're never going to be the perfect picture, so you won't be ready anyway.
Yeah, fair.
Because
yeah.
when you get married to the person, you're going to learn from them. Mm-hmm. Because when you move into each other, with each other, you're bound to not like something about that person. That's just the way it is, fair. Unfortunately. But I think you have to kind of put yourself in a better position. So there's two people, say for example, a couple, the man earns 30k, the woman earns 30k. That's actually quite good for a household. That's it's enough to maintain a household.
Yeah.
But if one person in that household is living, is not living in their means, it's gonna have a detrimental effect. English.
Hey, we did well.
That's a detrimental effect on how the household is run, yeah. And that's gonna lead to problems. Mm. Like I'm Nigerian, my mum has always said to me, "Listen, you can't chop love. You can't chop love. You can love somebody, but at the end of the day, if the person is broke, I don't really know how it's going to work out for you.
Yeah,
and if they have no motivation either to do anything or to better themselves, what am I doing there?
Yeah.
And I feel like at the age that I was at before, when I wasn't good with money and stuff like that, how dare I marry somebody's son and give them a headache? No, but honestly, what's that for?
Yeah, because it actually just becomes a burden. I know as much as we grow together, especially at a young age, you're able to, you're more moldable, you can grow with that person, like learn about finances, learning about the debt, learning about, you know, just managing your money. But also some people are genuinely like still single because it, unfortunately, it does become your burden when you're now together.
Yeah.
They're single to married. Like, it does become a burden, and some people just don't want that responsibility on themselves. Do you get what I mean? Because it's like another mouth to feed, or another, I don't know, like it's just another person.
That's another point. Some people just don't want to be in relationships. Some people feel like they're called to be single, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's a tight one, you know.
And some people don't want to grow up.
I mean, genuinely,
if you're being honest, some people don't have that extra content. In where they are, they don't actually want to learn. They don't actually, they're very stuck in their ways. It comes with like a mindset as well. If your mindset is that it's all about me, like I'm putting me first and all, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, but if you've got that mindset and you're not willing to change, or you don't see anything wrong with it, being in a relationship is not right for you, because being in a relationship is all about being selfless and not thinking about yourself. And you do learn that as time goes on. Obviously, before, even if you are a selfless person, when you get married, you will learn that you're very selfish. But I feel like you need to have those traits. You need to be aware of your mindset and the things that you think and how you are before you go into a relationship.
Yeah.
Because it will manifest and you'll see it much bigger, because it will be magnified.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's so much like pressure getting into a relationship anyway?
I think in church the pressure's more.
Yeah.
Because obviously they don't want you to end up fornicating and stuff, and we're living in a world where it's very sexualized. You can go on Instagram unknowingly and be attacked by a picture of a woman in a bikini. So it's like, it's very sexualized. So I feel like the media puts sex at the front of people's mind. So in church they'll rather you be married than for you to just fornicate with somebody else. So I feel like sometimes that's why I feel like people do get mad because they want to sleep with each other. I think some guys are like, I'm getting old now, it's been a while, and they want to go and marry somebody. Men get married in batches.
Oh, 100%. And you've got to think about it. Remember, not many men actually want to get married like that. Like, you know, a lot of it is just because of
the woman.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever.
To make
in a batch of five, if one gets married, Within three years, all of them is married.
And I think the reason why is because most men want to live bachelor life, but they want to live bachelor life with their friends. So if all their friends are getting married, they're all going to get married, so they can all live married life together, because I feel like guys like to do things together.
Also, I think it's different because obviously it's almost like essentially the guy calls the shot. So if a guy really wanted to think about it, he could get married like this. If he really wanted to, because he calls the shots. All he needs to know is that you like me and I like you. Cool. Whereas when it comes to the female now, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I like him. Does he like me? Okay, yeah, right, you like me, okay. We're two-stepping around. Okay, I'm going to wait for him to ask me this. I'm going to wait for him to take me here. I'm going to wait for him to... Like, it's just a constant waiting game. So you could be like, yeah, do you know what? I'm ready to settle down. I'm ready to get married. I'm ready for the ring. And then this man will now come and dilly-dally. And then 2-3 years later, if he wants, that's when he'll come and drop on his knee.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Unless you're like Giannina from Love is Blind. Do you not watch that?
I
Which one again?
Giannina. She went down on one
Giannina,
knee.
Yeah. Hey. I remember.
She flipped the roles round.
She was like, no.
She said,
"Would you
get her?
Would you girls do that?
No.
It's not I don't like insults.
Girl. But do you know what, yeah?
It's too much.
This is what guys would say, like how they feel with girls, that feeling of rejection. Do you get what I mean? Like,
I don't know if you don't try.
It's like, yes, we may feel like, well, it's too much, like, if that's happening. But that's the same for guys, like, they're thinking, like, oh.
I won't lie, for a boy to approach a girl, you're brave to do that because you might not know that girl's feeling you at all. And sometimes with girls, unfortunately, we just have mixed relations. Like, one day we can be feeling them, the next day we're just like, nah, man, this guy's violent. So it's different emotions for every day. So it takes a lot of confidence for a guy to come up and be like, yo, I want to take you out, I want to get to know you, talk to you late at night. It takes a lot of confidence to do that.
Experience.
Stop. But it takes a lot to do that, like. So I rate them for doing that. But like I said, I guess you don't know. If you don't try, and guys are always saying that females are the most emotional creatures.
Yeah.
So you should, as a man, you should be moving to the girl, because if the girl moves to you now, I feel like boys are better about it though, if the girl moved to them and they didn't like the girl. But boys, they, like, with girls, a girl's like, shut up, your buzz, and all the friends would be laughing. But with a boy, he'll just be like, nah. And he might just move away from you and stop talking to you for a bit. What do you guys think?
For sure. From when you're shouting, "I excuse me, miss," from Old Kent Road when I'm in Peckham, like, you're actually screaming. Like, just leave me alone.
But that one I don't understand, because they'll be in their car, they'll be like, "Excuse me, mister," but they drove 10 minutes away. And you just remember what the 10 minutes have come, and actually, I don't understand that one. I don't
Personally, guys, I don't even like being moved to. Like, let me not even lie. I just get so awkward.
I think, especially... Like, give me your opinion, girls. But, like, don't you feel like if someone moves to you on the road, you can't distinguish whether, you know, they're saved? And I know that sounds quite, you know, harsh, but I know growing up, "Hey, Sade," or "Your babe, look at your back," or something. That's how someone usually moves to me, or something. And then you just, it's a no-go. So it's like, now, if a Christian guy tries to move to me, and even try to speak to her, even if he said it, "Oh, hi, miss, you're right," I'm just thinking, oh, you're just trying to be one of them sweet ones.
It's very rare for a saved guy to move to a girl on the roads, let's be real.
I feel like a Christian guy would have to move to me with, like, a flyer, evangelism or something.
Yeah. Do you get it? Sure, so you need to invite me to your church.
Because you automatically assume.
Do you know what I mean? You're right, since we've got a free church service. A free gospel concert.
But wait, let me say something quick, though. You automatically assume that someone that's moving to you on road isn't saved, essentially.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, like...
Because you don't know who I am.
Like, you don't... Yeah. And now, if I now tell you I'm one Jezebel... Like, you're legit, like, what are you going to do? Like, it's true. Nah, I'll convert you. Like, what?
But rubbish. I think it's on how they've done it. Because my sister's friend got moved to by a Christian guy on the train.
Yeah.
So he had been seeing her on the train reading books. So what he did is he bought her a Christian book and put his number in it.
Oh, wow.
Hey, how are you? Christian orders wants me to find me.
I get on the 249.
Which direction?
He now handed it to her on the Victoria line, but he was a bit shy. He didn't know how it was going to end up, so he just gave her the book and got off the train. Because he gets off before her. She's now read the book and texted him, loves the book. And they started talking. I don't know if it worked out. I didn't really check up on it. But that's how
guys take notes.
That makes sense, you know. I can't lie.
Notes.
There was one creative way that...
Not every day be carrying 10 chairs in front of me. Take notes. Oh, come on.
A ministry.
Ministry.
We need the ministry. But guys, there was one story, not even one story, one time I was on the train on my way home, right? When I tell you, one boy was doing gymnastics to get my attention. The pose on the train.
No.
He did a flip in the middle of the aisle next to me. He did a flip, guys.
No.
He did a flip, and then he flipped one way, and then he flipped back the other way. And then the third time he flipped, he came and put his phone on my lap. I was scared. I thought it was a bomb. I got scared. I was thinking, what's he doing?
We love a guy who's creative.
Oh, because he'd already walked up and down a couple of times, I was just thinking, oh, okay.
Maybe
like,
this is
come
good.
On.
Because me, I would have got off. I don't care what's up.
Do you know what? It was like a stop or
or two before where I needed to go, like, and I was just thinking, come on, like, you're not going to make me move carriage at this point, like, I'm almost home, sort of thing. So I got to give him that, like, that was creative. He had written on the notes page on his iPhone, he had written that he was too shy to talk to me, but you weren't shy enough to do cartwheels.
No.
I was just like, what? No, it was so funny. But that creative way, like, I mean, I guess some Christian guys gotta start spicing it up, you know, really. That's if you just, you know.
But it's kind of bound to happen though, because I feel like in churches, people get too familiar with each other. Mm. So I don't feel like the people in your church anymore necessarily marry them. They have to go and find a girl somewhere. They're gonna have to go find a shawty. So they're gonna have to come up with more creative ways of doing it.
What do you think about bringing someone into church that you're interested in?
A pack lunch?
I'm all for it.
Pack lunch or school dinners? That was good. School dinners.
I feel like it's a risky one. Pack lunch. In our church, there's more girls than boys.
Yeah.
So when you bring a guy in, sometimes the sisters will be moving like sharks in the church. They'll be wanting to surf in drinks, all of that stuff. And it's just a bit like...
Hold on, imagine me bringing someone in for me and then someone else has their eyes with him.
That's the risk, that's the terms and conditions that comes. It comes
it's possible.
Yes, the terms and conditions to this.
But I think people are really confident. You may bring them into the church and then 6 months down the line, he might fancy somebody else.
But this is why, I believe that if you are going to do something like this, like, firstly, I don't think everyone who does it plans to do that. Like, genuinely, I can have a really... good friend and I'm like, well, yeah, you need to get saved, like, because you need to get saved,
yeah,
and you know, it just so happens that maybe you know, through that process, you know we build a deeper friendship and, you know, we start to like each other, blah blah blah. But I feel like, okay, in other circumstances, girl, you know what you was doing, DIY, like, you've done it yourself. But I feel like if you're gonna do that, or if you do it, your intentions need to be, I think you just need to be careful. Because a lot of, like, I don't know, I feel like the idea of, yeah, you're going to be mine, that idea can overpower the true reason as to why, essentially, you want them to come into church. Because at the end of the day, it should be for salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're now coming to do Bob the Builder and be trying to, yeah, this is going to work out like this, and then in 2 weeks, you're going to start reading your Bible by yourself, and then in 3 weeks, you're going to be accountable, and then we're going to start dating, that's very techie. Because now when he starts to get rooted in his word and understands, okay, do you know what? This is what I need to look for.
Yeah.
You know, I might not even be interested in
what
relationship
if you're
right
not
now.
Even it.
Right, but this you're is what I'm saying. So now, as he's reading the word, he's getting wisdom. Now he's writing his own sermons, and then he gets revelation. He looks up at one next babe. Oh yeah, that's a good Proverbs 31 woman, and she's not you. What then? What actually then? Where do we go from here?
No, it's true.
So I feel like you really need to be careful, and I think you need to be open as well to the idea that it. He might just, God might have other plans for him.
And I think we always hear that saying of, you know, guard your heart, sis. Because it's just like, things like these actually do happen, unfortunately. Like, your motive may have been, yes, you want the person to get saved and accept Jesus into their lives. And you may have an interest in them, which is actually okay. Like, it's actually fine. But you've got to also be ready for the repercussions, because...
Sticky, sticky.
I think it's a dangerous game to bring someone into church, believing that they're going to become your person. Like, obviously, it works for people. Like, we probably all know someone that has bought their own pack lunch. But I think it's a bad idea.
Sorry.
Because... especially for, I don't know, if a guy brought me to church, for example, I feel like there's a small possibility I would fall in love with him before I fall in love with Jesus.
Small, big.
And I just think we have to be honest with ourselves. I'm not saying it happens with everyone. It's just more, the person, this is why they say be careful, like, women disciple women and men disciple men. If the guy that's bringing you to church... and that's the only, you don't have any Christian people around you, your family's not saved, you go to him more likely for advice. Oh, I don't really understand this. Are you going to go to him when you're having lustful feelings? How does it, what happens then? So I just feel like sometimes you end up getting drawn to them through, obviously, the love for Christ, because your love for Christ essentially came from
through
him.
Through them, yeah.
So I think it's a bit of a, you know.
It's a bit of a stick. No, I was just going to clarify, the guy or the girl that we're bringing to church, are they, are we friends or we like each other? I think we're talking about
your friends, feelings. Maybe someone that you're interested in, maybe potentially.
I was just talking in general.
Remember, sometimes you can bring the opposite sex to church and not feel no, like you just want, I just want you to get saved, brother.
Sister. Yeah, you can, definitely, for sure. Yeah. I think,
and if feelings just so happen to get involved, all right, cool, but I mean,
more so if it's with the intention of
best friends.
Well, most of the time, you find that people that, not all the time, but if you're bringing somebody of the opposite sex, most of the time you're kind of interested in them.
Are you?
Not all the time, unless, I think so. If you just met them, like if you just met them on the street or whatever.
If I met you on the street, I want to get saved.
But
didn't
if you know them, like if you've known them from back in the day, you might not think that way. But I think some, I'm not saying that it's you, but I feel like especially for men, if they're gonna bring a woman to church, most of the time there's a sort of interest there.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes women can too, because women, you don't really see women bringing men to church, like. Don't see that unless they grew up with them or their family member. But if they've just met a guy on the street, you think they're just gonna invite them to church, like, and not think, oh, he's a bit cute. Not obviously sometimes you might actually just genuinely be like trying to save souls and stuff. But I feel like sometimes when it's opposite sex, most of the time there's some intention there.
Yeah,
for sure. When I was having a look at this topic on why am I still single sort of thing, a few things came up here, so you guys can give me your opinions. But one of the biggest reasons was defenses. Like sometimes people are single literally because they've been hurt in prior relationships and they're too scared to get into another one, or maybe those hurtful interactions are like they're sort of leading them to put your walls up, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
So because of all that hurt you've experienced before, it's now like you don't want to open up to that. Do you get what I mean? You don't want to open that wound. And that even goes on to thinking about wound mates. I was watching some video, can't remember, but they was basically saying that some people, you're not in any right mind to be getting into a relationship anytime soon. And you just attract a wound mate because you're hurt and that person is probably hurt as well. And because you just both don't want to be single, you just come together, and you hurt each other even more. So you're now deepening your hurt.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And then I guess that goes back to what like Glo was saying earlier, like just that you're not ready, you're not at that right, like you're not in the right mindset to pursue someone.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times we don't really want to admit it because we're scared and we're like, oh, you know, we don't want this hurt to hold us back. But if you're hurt, you have to heal, because hurt people hurt people.
Well, literally.
I can't lie. someone said to me the other day, this is separate to hurt people, but someone said one of the reasons why they think I'm still single is because I'm picky. And listen, I'm picky and intimidating. Me? Intimidating?
You? Not
intimidating.
Oh, no way.
You're not intimidating.
No, but listen.
And I don't think you're picky either.
I think in terms of the whole I don't think you're intimidating.
I'm too small to be intimidating.
But I think men can't handle, not all men, but I think some men, they, I don't have to say this without, you know, offending people, but I feel like some men are excited to play that role of being the head of the home, which is great, but to be in some form of leadership. And sometimes men look at women like Denise herself being all together. She knows what she's doing. And some men could take that as now she's got her life together.
Yeah.
And men want to, all people usually want to fix things, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, because a man becomes the head of the home, if he sees, for example, Denise, let's just say you've got your house, you've got your car, you're on 100K, you know, like in his head, what else do I need to build with her?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's just an extra point, but I just feel like sometimes men want to be the head of the home to support the wife and basically fix her life, in other words.
It was actually a fact being that modern women nowadays, being more successful, self-sufficient and accomplished, that just shows that, it's not to say that they don't need a man, but it shows signs of the fact that I can actually do it on my own. Like, what are you actually now going to add on to my life? Because a lot of people, they don't want to now get into a relationship if it's going to make my existing life more complicated. If I'm now going to feel like this is a struggle, this is a strain, why am I going to now get into something? And it's okay to be at that point. And genuinely, if you feel like, you know, you're better off single, it's not by force to be getting yourself into a relationship or whatnot. But yeah, I guess it's just more so, I don't think it's a reason to be like intimidating though or scared of. Like, I think it just takes the correct person to come and pick you up. You know, like when you go to those arcades and you get that machine that grabs you, you know? It's only the correct man that will just grab you by your hair and just take you up, sort of thing. I just don't, like, when I heard that, I was thinking about it, like, picky and intimidating. I was like, I just don't take rubbish. That's actually
And that's fact.
And you shouldn't. Rubbish. Like, you shouldn't. I'm a smart girl. My mum raised a smart child.
Graduate.
Cough T1. Accounting and finance. PSC. Honours. Okay? Like, all of that. Like, come on. Like, I don't have time. I'm even getting older. Like, my big friend here is married. Like, my age mate. You know? And this is not to compare
Ren, how old were you when you got married? When you started dating and when you got married?
I started dating when I was 19, I got married when I was 22.
Nice. And did you, like, was you, because I know, like you said in the beginning, all of us was like, when we was younger, we were like, oh my days, like, as soon as I reach 23, I'm going to be married, with 3 kids, on my 4th. Was that ever you?
Defo.
Yes, that was me.
I can't even scream it.
All of my friends, every time we'd have, like, even these most likely games or just anything, whenever it was the person that was going to get married first, it was always me. And you know what? I always said it with me because that's what I wanted anyway. And so, you know what's so funny? Like, people might find this really weird, but I got married very young. Well, not as young as you hear, because you hear, like, 18-year-olds and stuff like that. But I guess in the world's view, I'm still young. So I got married at 22, but then my mom actually got married at 20. And she had me when she was 23, and I just turned 23. Wow. And I was actually, when I turned 23, I was thinking, oh my gosh, my mom had me at this
age.
Like, can you imagine? She actually had me at this age. I'm at this age now, and I don't even see myself with a child. Like, and I know it's because she got married when she was 20, so she had about 3 years of my dad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of felt like, oh, like, I want to do everything my mum did. Because I look up to my mum a lot. I'm like, I wish I got married younger and I had a child at 23 too. Yeah. But then it's like, I felt it kind of made me think that you're never really, you can't put expectation or age on when you're going to get married, because you're never, there's no age. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You just need to be ready. And there's nothing, there's no such thing as, oh, you're too young, you're too old. Your mindset and you as a person, you need to be in that place and you need to be ready.
Yeah.
Because even though as much as I want to be like my mom and I aspire to be like her, I'm not ready to have a child. And I know that. So if I was to go and have a child now, I'd be foolish. I wouldn't be, obviously I'd be the mother that God wants me to be, and I'd be a good mother, but I would be ready.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I think that's it. A lot of it, like, is down to God, and I'm not even trying to be cliche. I think if you ask me, the reason why I'm still single is because I'm waiting on God. Like, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know if God wants me to finish or to get to a certain place in my career. I don't know if God wants me to, you know, where I am in my life. He wants me to kind of inspire the people that are maybe at a similar place to me. I don't know if he wants me to never marry. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And I think, again, it's almost like, you know, why am I still single? Not everything is in my control. Because, you know, you can have a guy that comes to you tomorrow, I want to date you, I'm interested in you, blah, 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 and you think, yeah, you're the one, you know, and he might not be, and that, there's nothing wrong with that, there's genuinely nothing wrong with that, but if you put your focus and your interest all in that, it's always going to let you down, and you're never going to be satisfied, you're never going to be satisfied, because you can get married, you can have the man that you want, you can have whatever, but if it's not right, it's, you're still going to want more. You're still going to want something else. Like,
And I'm just off that. Even if you find the man that is right, we are human beings, and God is God knows that we're humans, and He didn't create us to be perfect, so we're never going to be content anyway. Yeah. So even if that guy is the perfect guy, and there's always going to be a flaw, because we are flawful humans. We have flaws. So as perfect as that guy may seem, he will have things about him, which is fine, because we are not perfect. And I just wanted to say a few things as well. When people are saying, like, oh, I want to get married and stuff like that, marriage is a beautiful thing. But seriously, be happy and content in your season. If you are single, be happy in that season. Because not saying that I don't love being married. I love being married. I'm so blessed. I've got the best husband. But I wish I took that season of singleness. I wish I really cherished it. And did the things. I've done the things that I wanted to do, but did more. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I really like spoke to other people and like just really just put myself out there as a single person.
Because you can find as well that a lot of times in your singleness, you're more fixated on your time in the relationship.
You're thinking ahead.
Always thinking of being in a relationship. Yeah. And now when you're in a relationship and you're screaming, you'll be thinking about being single.
Yes, exactly.
Like you're just never.
Exactly. Ever since our pastor Courtney preached a sermon about cherishing your singleness, at first I was like, how do you do that? Like, you lot are married, man. You lot are in relationship. Like, how? But
it's easy for a relationship. It's so, yeah. To say it, isn't it?
But genuinely speaking, when you fix your mind on not focusing on relationships and this, that, and other, and just trying to better yourself as a person, enjoying your life, like doing what you want whenever you want to, without the feeling of, oh, I gotta chat to you, I gotta chat to this, I gotta make sure you're right with this. For me personally, obviously, like, as we go, like, through the podcasts more, like, you'll probably hear more personal stories. But, I mean, I've learned to cherish singleness in a whole different way. And there's nothing wrong with it. Like, for me, I think it's helped me to, like, grab opportunities that I may not have been able to grab. Or, like, it's helped me, it's just changed my perspective. So now I'm just excited to do things, like, for myself, like, career-wise, work-wise, that's the same thing, but you know what I mean, like, social, like, being out with my friends and families, and, like, thinking about new things to do, like, you know, different ideas that I've got in my head, being able to do it, like, I just, listen, cherish your singleness, man. It's not a negative thing at all.
No, it's not, and when you're not looking for it, it will find you, because at the end of the day, we are not in control of who we marry.
Yeah.
Like, we are not. Like, we may think that we are. We may think, oh, I set up this day, I went on this day, and it was me. It's not you. It's God. It's God. So if God doesn't want you to marry, you will not marry. And if you do get married to that person. Unless you're being stubborn. Yeah, unless you're being stubborn. Exactly. Mm. And when you're not looking for it, it will always find you. And even when you might think, oh, I'm not ready, you will be ready, because God will make you ready. Mm-hmm. So, like, even my husband, I was around him a lot. I grew up. Basically, practically grew up with him, and I didn't think I'd marry him. He was bro, and I never knew bro.
My guy.
Literally,
why you gotta do sis?
Yeah, honestly, excuse me.
Don't sis me, bro. How can my man not be sissing me? I don't have time.
No, like,
you got to push past that.
Do you know, if you sis me, sorry, guys, I don't know if this is me personally, but when I hear sis, I'm just sad.
But listen, I personally think, I know we're digressing, but I really think that we use that a lot to cover the fear of being rejected.
We cover it,
like, the fear of being rejected. Like, you cannot try and be like, I don't know, you can't try and say something. If you add sis to a sentence, I have to take that a whole different way.
Yeah.
Because you added sis. Yeah. So if you don't want to speak with your chest, just add sis.
But then don't you think that's partly because I'm not saying all churches, but you're kind of taught, you know, treat everyone the same.
Kind of way,
you treat the sister, all sisters the same until you're essentially in an official relationship.
That's facts.
And that's what I'm saying, but I think guys and females take that so much where it's like, I'm going to say bro, sis, until I put the ring on, I think, or until I literally say to her,
I just think
I officially like you.
Sometimes people go out of their way to call me sis. And you're just like,
it's not needed.
Like,
just
like, I get it. Like, I get you don't like me. It's fine. It should be fine.
It's true.
Like, oh my
day. How much more do you have to call me sis?
Yeah. Like, I get it. Has a name.
Yeah.
I'm
Do you know what is true? Call me my name.
You know the ones. This is
like,
my
I've got
sis
the message.
Yeah.
I've got the message.
You can see that, Miguel. So sis applies to me, yes.
Yeah.
But this is my friend Denise. Like, you can even, you know, emphasize the F friend. Like, do whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah. This is my good sister Christ.
You know the ones. You're alright, sis. You're taking me everywhere, sis. It's okay. Like, you're embarrassing me. Am I ugly or what? Like, am I actually ugly? It's so funny. Like. But
I just don't know what's wrong with the name, innit, man. I've got a whole name.
But I get that some people would actually just call people sis. Do you get it? Like, it's not even a thing. Like, to over to not English. Like, we can just overlook it. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's not even a thing like that.
No, but like you said, I think there's some people that are genuinely out there to make it known.
I feel like the sis thing people are lying, but I feel like when you're out with your friends that aren't sage, you don't call them sis, you call them
Of course not.
So it's just like,
baby's gonna pull you up. Like, sis who? Hello? Do we have the same mum or dad or what?
You can call me sis if you like, but I've actually got a name, so Gloria's fine sometimes. It's true. It's not every day.
That is
I just wanted to throw in a scripture from what we were talking about before. A lot of people would know this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. We can all scream that from the rooftops. But honestly, the scripture says that, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And we use the scripture in such, like, we use it in a lot of terms. Do you get what I mean? What's the word? Ambiguous? Ambiguous. It's got a lot of meanings and it applies to different situations.
Yeah.
So, but I think it just even goes to show that you can be content in whatever situation you're in, knowing that God's got you in it. Like, when your time is gonna come, it will come, like, it will happen. He knows the plans for you. We may not know the plans we have for ourselves. I may have thought that I'm gonna be married at 25 and God said the no. He said the no. Do you get it? So it's like, it's like just being content that someone greater than you knows and has a plan, sort of thing. And this, that even made me think of the lists, like, my plans, you know, that relationship goals series where basically Pastor Matt Todd was saying that ripping up your plans and looking at God's plan for your life, because sometimes that doesn't always align because of our selfish desires, like what Ren said before. Like, it just may not always align, but that even just made me think of asking you, Ren, like, do you think that there's been any sort of unrealistic expectations that you had, like being single and thinking that that was gonna happen, or things that just didn't make sense? Like, you may have thought this is what I want in a person, but then in hindsight you're now thinking, but rah, like, is it really that deep? Do you get what I mean? Like, oh, he needs a car, but when you're struggling with finances and can't pay your rent, why are you gonna have a car? Do you get it? So for you personally, have you had any experiences like that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I think,
or maybe in dating or marriage, I don't know, anything.
You know what, I think my expectation was, very much Instagram. So what I saw on Instagram, what I saw on social media, I thought that my husband has to do this. Like, you know, when they put, they fill up the whole room with roses and they do all of this, all that madness, literally, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I thought that, like, if a guy really loves a woman, that's what he's going to do that, you know? But no, like, that is not the, that's not, if that's what you have to realise, like, if that's what you expect, if you, that's what you think love is, then you really don't know, because that's all for show. Like, that picture that I saw, they might have been, they might have had a terrible argument after that or before that. And you really can't put your relationship and your expectations on social media, because social media is a facade. No one's going to put up what is really going on in their lives. So I had to realise that there, you have to be really realistic in your relationship.
You see them pictures, every time I see them, I just think, who's going to clean that up? That's the first thing I think about, especially when it's like in their house. Who's cleaning all this flower up?
Yeah, it's true.
Facts.
No, it's true.
Because it won't be me.
Exactly.
You said romantic gestures.
Not me. Exactly. You cleaned it up.
No,
But yeah, no, I had like expectations like that. Like, I'm kind of that girl that wants like my husband to like be very like, show me all over. Not show me all over, but do you know what I mean? Like, be show me some public display that you love
me. And James
me.
Is literally the opposite of
James
that.
Is the opposite of that. And you know what? I'm so grateful for him, because if he was just like me, I feel like we would clash a lot.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, we'd be posting everything and we wouldn't actually be looking at who we are. Yeah. James has made me realise that the love that we share is deeper than what other people can see. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that he loves me way more than what he can show me on Instagram, like, or he can display to me. And he's done it before. And the thing is, we've taught each other, because now he does more things like that. Yeah. And he's also taught me that I don't have to, it's not all about show, you know? And then also with the car thing, like, we had a car, and then his car, the lease finished, and now we don't have a car. And it really humbled us, because now we have to go and get our shopping, carry it together on the bus. And, you know, if I was a girl that was very like, oh, car, I'd be crying. But I'm grateful, awesome. Because what we're doing is we're saving, and we're saving for better things and a better car and stuff like that. And then when you take all the materialistic things out, you'll really realise that, like Gloria said, or Gloria was talking more so about love, not chopping, like, you can't chop love. But at the same time, love is very much... it's not a feeling, it's a choice. And it's all about how you treat each other and how, you know, just what God says love is. And it's not about material things, because those things fade away very quickly. And when you get in an argument, you will not like them anymore. You think they're ugly, you think all of this stuff.
Looks don't matter no more.
Literally, all of that goes out of the window.
I hate you. You ugly anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I didn't like your wares in the first place. Literally.
Yeah, man, but don't, it's hard, but try not to have expectations, man, because it will ruin your relationship, and you'll just be waiting for it, and when it doesn't happen, you'll tear down your own marriage and your own relationship.
I wanted to add, it's kind of what we were kind of discussing, basically about, it's not essentially like the why you're single, or... And I think it's more based on like why you're not doing anything whilst you're single, or what else are you doing whilst you are single? Because I feel like even being single now, there's been so many times I thought like, rah, you know, why am I still single? And like God presented me, but like why not? Why can't you be single? Why can't you live for me? Like, why can't you join ministry? Why can't you? And I think, this is not even promo, but it never occurred to me before I just sat down with God that, no, Debbie, you actually can do things for God in terms of my YouTube. And I never thought about it. I don't think if I was single and sitting down here and got saved and literally seek God first, I would have never done my YouTube. Not saying that some, you know, I've blown, but
no, it is big up YouTube.
But yeah, like, okay. I just think a lot of the time we just need to change the narrative. Like, being single is not a bad thing, and like being married is also not a bad thing, but wouldn't you rather do the things for God whilst it's just you and God than when you're with someone else? And just, I don't know, I watched something the other day, I think it was earlier today, and they basically said, being single, you learn so much. Like, learn how to be a good friend. Learn how to not gossip, literally, because you might go through things with your husband or your wife. Are you going to go and tell all your boys? Are you going to tell all your girls? And obviously, I'm not married, so, you know, I don't know everything, but I just feel like in this time, there's so much we can do, and just enjoy it, man, and seek God.
Yeah, there's been so many times where I'm literally like, is it me, Jesus? Like, is it me? Like, what's going on? But literally, it's taking your time whilst you're single. While saying that though, actually, I was thinking, what would you say your, what's your current status right now out of the given options, right? Single and ready to mingle.
Hey.
Single, not ready to mingle. Entanglement. Or in a relationship.
Anything I do say will be held against me, right?
Practically, girl. Yes. So, Glo, we'll start with you.
Huh? What was the question?
Sister.
Single.
I heard you, but I just don't want to go first. Can somebody else? God. I would say I'm single, I'm ready to mingle.
Yes.
Yes, honey.
With chest.
Amen.
Yeah. 790. Little city on the ground.
Hey. Little city underscore?
Don't forget the underscore. You might not find me.
Her page is open too.
It's true. For now.
Yes, for now.
I think... Sorry, I know someone's going to do it, but I'm 50-50. Just because I'm trying
to keep it TTH, I can't.
Yeah, you've got to keep it.
I'm single, ready to entangle.
I'm so bad.
Job,
I'm so bad.
I'm actually joking.
That's so funny.
Go on, Debbie.
I think I'm a bit of both, as in single, ready to mingle, but also single and not, like, I'm just not ready yet. Yeah. Only because I feel like earlier this year, I feel like I deep that this is the year for me to just really focus on God. But the truth is, the year is actually up soon. So,
that's joke.
Debbie underscore Tim. I'm joking, no, I'm joking. But joke. Yeah, but honestly, I think for now, it's pretty much a no-go because... There's too much great things happening, so I don't want to miss it.
She's saying single.
She's
saying
single. Ready to mingle. I don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
We just want to make it clear. Your what?
Debbie
is single and ready to mingle.
Let's just keep it as Debbie is single. And if
that wasn't a TikTok,
no,
that wasn't.
No. Are you not ready?
You know, in an exam, you'll get zero marks for that.
Do you get it?
It's a good thing.
Multiple choice. You didn't tick both. You didn't tick the right one.
You can't pick any. You can't pick two. Anyway.
Yeah, single and.
And what?
Yeah, and
she's ready to mingle.
Ready to mingle.
I'll say I'm single and ready to mingle. Yeah, I feel like I'm at a better place than I might have thought I was, you know, years back. So, Pegs underscore XOX.
I can't exactly. I'm gonna leave you till last, babe, because you know. You wait, whatever. But why are you looking at me?
You're
scared.
I'm not.
I'm scared. I'm actually, I don't know, because when I say, like, if I say I'm ready to mingle, I'm just basically saying, like, I'm ready to jump back out there and start talking to people. But, I mean, if someone was to DM me, then I wouldn't exactly shut you out. Ooh. Exactly.
It's a DM.
But in saying that, I don't think... I don't know. It's so funny to say that, oh, I'm working on myself and this, that, and the other. But it's like, you're always working on yourself. Mm. You're never perfect. You're never your best person. You're always striving to be closer to perfection. Mm-hmm. So, what was it? Single and not interested? Is that what I said?
I promise you. Because that would have been my option. That's not what you said.
Or single and not
ready to mingle. Oh.
Also, bear in mind, ready to mingle.
Mingle is just mingling.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
amen, hallelujah. In a relationship with Lord Almighty.
Obviously, ready to mingle isn't like, oh yeah, cool, right, tomorrow I'm jumping. Yeah. But it's just like you're open.
Yeah, it's true. I will have
to open?
Admit that. Yeah, I would have to accept that.
Yeah.
Listen out.
And our darling Renz.
Yes, I am in a relationship.
Boop, 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 boop. She is a long-term one, so none of you DM me about her. Yeah. So guys, thank you for joining me on, like I said, my first official podcast with guests. You're done though. You lots are going to be back soon. Woy oy. Everybody's going, woy oy.
Woy oy.
I'm joking. But honestly, no, thanks guys. It's good to know as well, I think for me, like, the main thing is that you're not alone with stuff you're going through. Like, we can actually, we actually claim our singleness and... be proud in it. Like, there's nothing wrong with being single. I was about to say signal.
Hey,
signal.
You wanna
there's
be
nothing
signal?
Wrong with being single. And honestly, just enjoying your singleness. Travel. Spend time with God. Get to know people. Enjoy yourself. Because this time, you won't get it back. You won't get it back again. But yeah, like I said, thank you guys so much for joining me on this first
Thanks
podcast.
For having us. Of course.
You guys have been amazing.
Thank you.
Can we get a bye from everyone, like, individually? Is that a bit too much to ask for? Or, you know?
This is Gloria. Farewell.
Pegs, signing out.
Deborah, Debbie, Debster.
Oh, yeah.
See you later.
Renee, yeah.
Bye. All things laid.
All things laid.
And your host, it's just Denise. Just me. Simply D. I've never said that before. Simply D.
I'm very sorry.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening and tune in again for more.